It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The madness grows in this sick society. Posers laud shallow youth for their empty fads. Phonies seek out vain celebrities for instruction. Slaves glorify globalist parasites for their stolen wealth and power. Politicians are puppets, not leaders. Sheep wear masks and accept deadly vaccines. In these dark times, the wise must lead us. So we call the Wisdom Circle. Each week, Scorpio and Giuseppe will call upon the sages, the learned, the pragmatic, to discuss the great problems and distill the great solutions. Here is the leader of the Wisdom Circle, Scorpio.
Okay, guys, welcome to the Wisdom Circle. It's November 18th. And gosh, we might be entering into the Groper Joe era. I hope not. We'll know soon enough. And, you know, given that, we need some serious wisdom, because this guy's going to take a wrecking ball to pretty much everything that we thought was decent and good in our society. And he will be praised at every turn by this disgusting mainstream media. That said, I want to bring on my co-host, Giuseppe. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm looking forward to today's show. One of the true heavy hitters of Revolution Radio, Mitchell Bupp, is joining us. And we've wanted to have him on for a while. And he's finally set up his camera. And it's going to be a good show. It's just stunning, this whole globalist attack on the sovereign United States, and how effective it seems like it's inevitable. It's just heartbreaking, but I don't see any way it's not going to happen with installing Groper Joe as the next president.
Yeah, so let's bring on old Mitchell. I really like Mitchell's tagline, which is yee. Yeehaw! Mitchell, how are you, man?
Yeehaw! Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're having a great day. Glad to be here on the Wisdom Circle with Giuseppe and Scorpio. God bless you guys. You know, you you work to bring, you know, truth and justice to the world. So thanks for everything you guys do. And helping Jim Fetzer off on his stuff. That's a big feather in your cap, so to speak. Yeah, it's the COVID craziness and the propping up of the entire economy because, you know, with the COVID reset, as, you know, Justin Trudeau, I should say, put it the other day. You know, Agenda 2030, sustainable growth and all this other, all these United Nations memes that they're going to bring in. And the COVID-19 was the perfect cover for all of that. They, these globalists are working nonstop to not only destroy Canada's government, but look at what they've done to our governments.
Yeah, you saw that clip of Trudeau, right? Where he's
opportunity. Yeah, I've got it. I've played it several times.
Didn't that sound like a scene out of They Live or what?
Yes, it. Well, it's the truth condensed. It's the political statements that liberals, globalists, and these folks make that push the New World Order. They've condensed their memes down. You know, it used to be a long, drawn-out affair. Now they've cutting the words down. They're condensing the meanings. And people are saying, oh, well, is that what you really mean? That's not what you maybe said before. But, you know, this Democrat slogan, or I should say this New World Order slogan, Build Back Better. If you look, it's used in global warming, it's used in the European Union, I mean, it's used in China, it's used all around the world by the United Nations and Africa, and it's this thought control process of having everybody thinking the same way. Yeah, see, there you go. And, you know, what they're doing is they're creating this international consensus for these ideas. And, you know, we have to remember that the United Nations in Africa itself, as it does its do-gooder educating, so to speak, it creates this idea that, you know, Africa is part of the world and that, you know, we need a one world government. If you look at the population growth figures, Africa is could easily outdistance Asia and China in population in 25 to 50 years. So it's this idea of using children and instilling ideas in people's minds while they're still young. You know, get them while they're young. You know, you can do almost anything with them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe you could tell us what the mask situation is like there in Virginia. You know, just today, this guy came up to me and started talking to me with his mask on. I won't wear a mask. And I could not help myself, guys. I said, hello, slave. I just couldn't stop. It just came out, man.
That's awesome.
No, you're absolutely right. There aren't, I haven't seen any slave Nazis, so to speak, mask commanders and demanders. I haven't seen anybody in the store, you know, get in somebody's face and say, you wear that mask. What did Ralph Northam tell you? You know, I haven't seen that in our area. I mean, I'm sure it probably happened and people get, you know, I get looks, but down here in my area, they're lucky. You know, a lot of times it's maybe 50-50. Half of the people are not wearing masks. And many that wear masks up in the front areas, they're just pulling it down, or they have a neck cloth of some kind that they slide up over. And it's really, it's all ineffective, stupid bullshit. Now, I only wear a mask when I go into the VA hospital. Otherwise, I haven't worn a mask anywhere. But many people don't down here.
Good.
It's tragic that you have to do that. And I mean, the insanity you mentioned earlier, you were very compassionate with using such benign words like education. I mean, what they're doing to the children is mind rape. It's mind control. Yeah. And the other thing is that they do these memes, as you observed, but it really seems like it's not a consensus. They're squashing resistance. You know, people like us, they act like we don't exist. The whole methodology, it seems they're going to implement globally, and I'll get your thoughts on this, is they're just going to say, you get the mask, you have your quantum tattoo or your chipped passport, and you can come back to real living. You can go to concerts, you can go to restaurants, you can go to movies. If not, you're not part of this global society. Don't you think that's where they're going?
Well, they certainly are using the COVID-19 as a control mechanism. How, to the extent that they're going to get away with it, you know, I think what they're finding out, like the National Bootlickers of America, the NBA and the NFL and these other sport teams have found, that, you know, kneeling for Marxists and dope dealers that overdose in the hands of police custody, or people that are trying to steal a gun and they say, hands up, don't shoot, which, you know, hey, it's a great myth, you know, like Antifa or the BLM, according to Jerry Nadler. It's really, they're not going to get away with it. I do see this partitioning, I guess you could call it, of the United States. I think that that is going to be continued unrest, just for the simple fact that the Marxists and the Antifa and the communists, they already look at Joe Biden as the enemy, because he's an old white fart who's been in politics for 47 years or something like that. I mean, really, you know, Joe Biden shouldn't win the election. I don't know exactly how everything is going to work out with Trump's appeals through the court system. He got shafted by the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court the other day. It was yep. ridiculous. Yep. That ruling, where, you know, they said just because the state legislature hasn't defined a feet number, a minimum distance or a maximum distance, that they could essentially be put anywhere in the building as long as they were in the room. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Philly Convention Center, and there's some big ass rooms. You put somebody on the other side and say, hey, we're in compliance. No problem. Yeah. You know, the recounts in Georgia, they had another, they found another 9,000 vote mistake in favor of Joe Biden. Or I don't know if you know about that third one. That's a third, mistake. They had two times where in Floyd County and in Fayette County, Georgia, they found two of their tape cartridges, memory cartridges, that hadn't been read since the day of the election. And that led to about...
They keep finding boxes of votes for Joe Biden, too. It's really amazing.
Yeah, but they never found, you know, in Philadelphia, would they find another 8,000 votes and Joe Biden was 85% of those. Anyway,
yeah, that's the
sure. Yeah. It's a mess. So they had a box that was counted in Georgia, one of the latest mistakes they found in, I think it was Cobb County, where they had a box of ballots that were marked, and it was marked 10,171 for Joe Biden and 13 for Trump.
Well, that's all believable, isn't it, Mitch? I mean,
and when they looked inside the box, they found 1,081 votes for Biden and 13 votes or so for Trump. So yeah, it was it was off 10 times. So now with just if you look at the ballots that have come in, this would have. This is essentially bring the race down to less than 3,000 votes now. So, yeah, people are not paying attention because the voting irregularities that people are finding are obvious. They are something that, you know, an anonymous or a rookie bean counter might find. You have to have a serious investigation into the balloting because in all honesty, you know, the people that didn't vote, how many of them actually somebody voted in their name? If dead people are voting, if signature matching has been essentially thrown out the window and it's worthless as they've been doing in Nevada, and Georgia also, so they don't let anybody see that process in Georgia during the recount, which is should be part of that audit. It's not a mistake that, you know, the amount of ballots that are being rejected in the general election are 30 times lower than those that were in the primary election. It's not a mistake.
Well, Mitch, Groper Joe is such a popular candidate. He's actually motivated dead people to vote. So the voter enthusiasm for him is really quite remarkable. And, you know, I was watching a few minutes of PBS NewsHour, a bunch of shills, just disgusting. And they had a bunch of like little short clips of you know, people that work for the voting commission for different states. And they're sitting there praising themselves about how wonderful the process is and how it's actually the most open and transparent election ever. So the level of lying is just, I don't know how, yeah. Mitchell, I guess here's my question. How do we deal with people who have absolutely no moral compass whatsoever? How do we get the country back onto some kind of a footing where, you know, it's not okay to lie, cheat, and steal? How do we do that?
Well, that's part of the problem with real freedom, is that when you have real freedom, the psychopaths and, you know, the maniacs and people that are power thirsty and want to control everything, you know, they come out of the woodwork and they run operations and scams and stings and they get themselves into power. And it's really tough to get them out because of the duopoly that we live under. And here in Virginia, you know, there's only two political parties that the state officially says are majority are parties, and that's the Democrat and Republican Party. You know, otherwise you have to petition yourself and have X number percentage of voters and registration and jump through these loopholes to be considered essentially a viable party, according to the state of Virginia. So, you know, this official discrimination by states that have put Republican and Democrat parties in a public process, like running a primary, like they do through for whether it's for a federal election or a state election. You know, no state government should be involved in any Democrat or Republican primary. The only thing they should have concern about is the general election. And, you know, if and qualifying people that are qualifying for that. You know, otherwise, you know, the state is essentially giving these private nonprofit corporations state preferential treatment as saying, look, these are the majority parties. They are only ones that are worth voting for. And, you know, until you can break down this duopoly, until, you know, maybe Donald Trump could run as an independent in 2024 if he's not. Doesn't win his battles with the court system. So I don't know what's going to happen, except I know it's going to be more shitstorming everywhere. And, you know, this is just a slow grind of a way to get around the Constitution and democracy and destroying the threads that hold this country together. You know, Antifa and the Black Lives Matters, the Marxists that pretend they care about blacks. And, you know, you have the communists who, you know, who pretend to be anti-fascist by, well, imitating the fascists. So, yeah, I mean, you got some real confused people here.
Yeah, in more way than one, yeah.
You know, Mitch, yeah. Most listeners may or may not know that you actually put your money where your mouth is and you ran for national office. You were running as the vice president of the United States. What was that like to try and seek office as an independent candidate?
It's like being the redheaded stepchild and being ignored. I was like, what was the guy? Thornton played Sling Blade. Was that the name of the movie? You know, I felt like they kept me out in the shed and, you know, I huddled up in the dirt at night as far as the media goes.
Sling Blade.
There essentially no media would talk to me the whole time. You know, the whole time that I was doing this and media, you know, they essentially, it was like a ban. Nobody would call me back. Nobody would talk to me. We did make ground here in Virginia. As I learn about the process and all this other stuff. This year has been kind of tough on me. I've been sick a lot. And it started in March and, you know, it's still kind of half kicking my ass, but I still have to get out here and we still have to work to change this system. And until now, we've got a guy in named Bob Good, and he is, how should I say it? He's a right wing Republican from Liberty University. And, you know, he's going up there like a sacrificial, naive lamb going into a den of thieves. And he doesn't have a prayer in hell of surviving or even knowing what the hell he's doing or has the people and the tools around him that might be able to get to the truth. He's going to go in there as a junior senator, House member, and you know, he's just going to be cannon fodder for, you know, Nancy Pelosi, who just got elected back to the leadership position. So it's
she got elected again to leadership. I didn't hear that yet. Wow, that figures. Wow.
Yeah,
that figures.
Yeah, so, I saw a little bit ago on Twitter.
Well, and Mitch, I want to compliment you. I like your position on, you know, what's going to happen with Trump's, you know, lawsuits. Personally, I'm quite dubious just because I think the court system is so deeply corrupt that I don't see a lot of hope for it. But some people are very dogmatic about it, and they're sure he's going to win. And, you know, if you don't think he's going to win, then you're being negative. And
well, it's the catch-22, you know. Even if Trump overturns these electors and is then declared winner of these states and he does squeak out a win against Biden, it will essentially neutralize his term. as far as, you know, the deep state believes that they can neutralize his agenda. But I don't think what they realize and is that Trump's new agenda, because of all of this, will be to get them, and that he is going to be releasing documents, even if he is pushed out of office. He's going to be releasing documents that show what Traitor 44 Barack Obama did, what the Hillary Clinton campaign did, and their wheeling and dealing in creating the Russia collusion delusion as far as their political strategy to deflect the email scandal that Hillary was involved in. It is, you know, I like to explain, you know, what happened in 2016 to people as how many spies, you know, were really pushed at the Trump team. And most people say, well, 4 or 5, maybe 6 are lucky, you know. And, you know, I've got a list of near 40, mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah.
That of people that were actually acted as spies, as covert agents transferring information or giving disinformation and misinformation to and about Trump and his team. So it's not just narrow conspiracy that it's the seventh floor, you know, of the FBI and parts of the upper echelons of the Obama administration. No, it's a hell of a lot more than that. It's the guts of the government, the working parts of the investigators and the management structure that went after Trump. And they used you know, the political system and Hillary's politics and wheeled that into an indictment of Trump.
Mitchell, don't you think, though, even though Trump may go for it in the information release area, but I mean, he did that with Groper Joe and their illegal dealings with China, his deviant son, Hunter Biden, and the media, which is so Orwellian now, just ignored it or said it was Russian collusion. And
absolutely. You know, I said when Trump came in office, one of the first things he needed to do was to bring in a half a dozen special counsels and to go after every damn thing that the Obama administration did and root out the sons of bitches and put them in prison and at least file charges against them and neutralize them so they can't get back in government and do the shit that they did again. And this is what we see happening with Joe Biden. I mean, I know Joe Biden's on hydroxychloroquine. He has to be. I mean, anybody who sniffs that many people has to be on some kind of preventative medicine for COVID-19. I'm telling you.
So, Mitchell, tell us, you know, how did you get involved with Revolution Radio? And I mean, you go back a long way. As far as I understand, and I was looking at the schedule, you do the most original content of anyone in the roster of hosts, right? You have the most hours of actual original content. Is that not true?
I don't.
Well, you and Bruce both do 2 hours, but then
I don't know. I'm just blessed, I guess. Let's see. How did I end up on Revolution Radio?
What happened?
Well, V, did you ever hear of V, the Gorilla Economist?
Yes, sure, of course. Pretty here. Big name, right.
And he's out there on his own with his own podcast and stuff now. And I listened to V, the Gorilla Economist, and Dr. Jim Willie a few times. And they were here on Revolution Radio. I came here and I listened, and I liked it. And this would have been about 5 years ago. 6 years ago. 2014. About this time, I had I had gone back to the VA hospital. I have a severe sleep apnea issue. And so I never got any sleep, and I was walking around like a, you know, this mental zombie, sleep deprived guy. And gosh, you know, I had so much going on in my life at the time. I was mad at my mom. She had let my boat sink. It was at the dock down at the lake, at her house at the lake, Smith Mountain Lake. And I don't know what happened. I guess the power went out, and it it was a big storm, and somehow it sank. I was really pissed, and she called me up and laughed about it, and I hung up on her, and you know, I didn't talk to her for 2 years. And I finally, you know, after a couple years, you know, I said, man, it's just wrong giving her the silent treatment like I've been. So I went back and I started talking to my mom, and I went to the VA hospital and got a new CPAP machine and started using it. And, you know, that was like Thanksgiving, week before Thanksgiving, 2014. And so I had gone back and I was talking with my mom and stuff, and it was the beginning of December when she was diagnosed with stage 4 skin cancer, and it was in her lungs already. It was in her lungs. And I was glad I was back talking to her, but at the same time, you know, it was pretty shitty. And and then on January 2, 2015, and I had, when I started using my CPAP machine, it was like being reborn. It was like night and day, and I was just it was just everything was coming alive again. So I decided I was going to get on Revolution Radio. And, you know, my mom comes down with cancer, and my best friend, Dan Severns, he's from Dover, Pennsylvania. He had a massive heart attack and died in the first week of January. And, And, you know, after that, I decided, you know, I wasn't going to leave anything on the table. I wasn't going to have a bucket list because, damn it, I'm just going to do the bucket. And, you know, I'll turn the bucket upside down, sit on it and fish and, you know, carry my stuff around in it. But I'm going to just do instead of, you know, wish later.
Nice.
And so March of 2015. I started the Independent Virgo Radio Show, airing Saturday afternoon, and then I moved the schedule. I think May or June, I moved to the Tuesday night schedule for that show, and it's now the Trump Assassination Files. And then in July of 2015, I started the morning show. 5 days a week. And and the way everything worked out here, you know, it allowed me the flexibility to do it and not get paid. So, you know, it was an opportunity, you know, that presented itself, and there it was.
Oh, that's great. You know, this is the Wisdom Circle, and of everything you described just in the past few moments about the heartache and life lessons, what would you say are there your three most important lessons of wisdom you've gained in your life?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess one of the first things I would say is that God never gave up on me, even when I gave up on him.
Oh, nice.
You know, I've had some shitty things happen to me in life, and they're not my fault. They're other people, perpetrated events, you know, on other people, particularly when they're children, they have no control. And, that can really change a person's idea of what the future is and how they view it. And it's tough to overcome that stuff. You know, while I blamed people, I also blamed the religion that they were. And, you know, those don't necessarily run hand in hand. So, you get a chance. Sometimes you see a glimpse of something that you can't put your finger on, that you say, what did I just witness? And, you know, that's what happened to me working up there in West Virginia when that house caught fire right near my camper. And these two ghostly apparitions appeared in my camper. And just it seemed like in a slow motion thing. And then all of a sudden they zipped into a light, the bright light in the other corner of the camper. It was, wow, it was amazing, and I never really thought about it.
Well, expand on that story. What the heck happened?
My dad died of cancer, and I thought about that. Say that again, Giuseppe.
Oh, expand on that remarkable story. What exactly happened that you saw the ghostly apparitions?
Oh, gosh. I had come back. I was working in a place called Handy, West Virginia. It's a small West Virginia town near Matewan, West Virginia, where they have all the Union battles.
Right.
And was working on a methane gas line that ran off the coal fields, collected that gas, and then sent it down towards Grundy, Virginia. And I had come home to my mom and dad to Smith Mountain Lake, and I turned around and came back. And I was in my little camper, and I pulled it up and parked it in this church parking lot, this little church parking lot. And I never even asked permission. And so I had been parked there for about a week or so. And when I went back and I was in my little camper, and I got the strangest feeling somebody's watching me. I mean, I really didn't know. And I looked up to the left, and there were these two that looked like a Ma and Pa figures from an old painting. And they were translucent. I could see the wall through them. And it was like, I can't say the F word, but you know, I mean, I was like, what the hell, you know? And it's like, saw them for a split second, and they ran in, and they went into this bright light into the right side of the camper. And I sat back there, and I'm trying to digest this. I hear this boom, this echo boom. I open up my little camper door, and right there in front of me, there's about 30-foot flames shooting out the front of this house. So I quick slid my boots on, and ran around trying to knock on windows. I finally got somebody in a little mobile home to get up. And, you know, there was nothing I could do. I had run around the back of the house, kicked the back door in, and this coal black smoke come out all the way down, almost, you know, 8-10 inches from the floor. And, you know, with the flame so big out the front, I didn't try to go in. I kind of wanted to, but I, you know, there was no way anybody could go in there and survive. And so I was standing there. I couldn't tell you how long it was. Seems like, you know, forever, because I really didn't sleep the rest of that night. And I'm standing up there behind the house on this berm of this little driveway. And here comes this baby blue Cadillac, big ass Cadillac. Now, this was in 92. So this guy jumps out, got hair down, you know, about to here on his shoulders. You know, the best way I could describe him, he was, you know, that singer from Meatloaf. And you know, he was about that big, and he had a blue tuxedo on, like He just came from a church or a wedding, and because it was Sunday, and you know, gosh, man, I'm picturing this because you know, as I'm telling you guys this, I can see the lights flickering, and
oh, wow.
the fire had already burnt through the house back to where these I believe it was a bedroom where they had this grating across the windows. And you could see the cold embers around the frame and the little squares and stuff as the air blew through there. And, you know, I'm standing there, you know, and here's this guy brushes against me and he gets down on his knees and he says, God bless mother and father. I know I can go in and save them. I know they're still alive and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, whoa. And this guy gets up and he took one step as he started towards the house. I just grabbed him and held him. And here this was his parents had died in this fire.
Oh, so you saw their spirits. Wow, that's amazing, man.
Yeah, and they had founded the church. See, I had found the next week, I'd found this, two of the parishioners told me that that they had told the church that they were going home. That they were going back. God was calling them home like a week or two before this.
Wow.
And then about that was what in January. In March, you know, I got a call from two sets of lawyers. Evidently, they had had a gas water heater installed. And they had found that either the insulation was faulty or the water heater was faulty. And that's where the fire tracked back to. So, but you know, I really never talked to this guy about, you know, seeing what I saw. Because, you know, once it was there and I held him and he's crying on my shoulder. And like I said, couldn't even tell you how long all that went on, and I had to make a statement to the state police because I was the first one on the there at the fire, and you know, this was West Ministries, I think, in that area, Randy West Ministries. So yeah, it's you know, that's one thing that really changed my life. I mean, and you think about some of the dumbest things you ever did in your life. I mean, I'm lucky my head wasn't blown off in one case. I forget who I was telling the other day when I was in the Marines. We used to walk down the impact areas in the ranges. I was in 81 mortars. And so we would walk down and you'd see little fins sticking all out of the ground. You know, you never knew if they were going to explode. You didn't think about it. You figured if they didn't go off and they dropped out of the sky, they weren't going off, you know. But, yeah, you never know. My friend Bill, Wild Bill Crowley, he's probably in a mental institution somewhere, in all honesty. Well, he did 7 hits of 4-way window pane one time. And he went out for lunch and he never came back. last I saw Bill, he had went up under the pool table in the upstairs rec room where everybody was playing pool and climbed under the pool table and wouldn't come out. He Good was Lord. Still having, I guess, paranoid delusions from that, whatever he did.
Good Lord.
Mitchell, yeah, we had gone out to I would go out and pick up brass casings because you know 7.62 is 308, and you know I would pick up crates of them and take them back to Pennsylvania and sell them, and nobody was picking them up, so I just figured I would. And we were out at a range one time, and Bill comes back up on top of the berm there, and he has an HE grenade, a M203 grenade launcher HE projectile. It's a little bigger, about the size of a golf ball, maybe a little bigger. And they're cobalt blue. And he says, look at this. It rattles. And I put it up to my ear, and I went like this. and it rattled. And I gave it back to Bill. He walked about 6 or 8 feet to the other edge of the berm and then threw it back out into the impact area as far as he could, I guess. It went off.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Well, it would have been it would have been a painless death, I guess, if that had happened.
Yeah, yeah. And when the known shit, that's for sure.
You know, it's funny, man. I know that I used to know this guy years ago that, you know, he sold acid, right? And he, one time he was driving around, and he had a whole sheet of acid in his car, and the cops pulled him over, and he panicked, and he ate the whole sheet.
Oh, my God. And,
yeah, yeah. The guy was he was high for like 3 weeks and never really came back all the way. It was really a strange kind of thing, man. So,
yeah. And, we had, you know, gosh, you know, I was in the 81 mortar platoon. But I tell you what, I'd be willing to bet that we did more drugs per capita than any unit. We actually had a formation because we would go out and march as close order drill for a half hour, you know, in the mornings. And, you know, we actually had a drill where our platoon would march down to the parking lot at the end of K Street and get in formation. And, you know, we would smoke a joint while we were standing down there at parade rest or, you know, just taking a break. it was really interesting, maybe is the best way to put it, because you never know who had the talent to do what. We, you know, our 81 mortar platoon, for 3 years running, we won the gunning competition for the 2nd Marine Division. And we were essentially just all crazy people that they put together. I should say, it was a platoon that was full of short timers and shitbirds. And then they were getting ready to go on a cruise, and they sent me there so they could fill out their complement of people that they were supposed to have, straight out of this basic infantry training. But it was an interesting experience. I mean, we had one guy, Bert. He's another person that got way out there doing acid, and he actually went AWOL for 2 years, and then he called back and wanted to know where his back pay was. That's
whoops, awesome. Bad decision. You know, I knew a guy that was in the Navy for years, and he told me that acid was actually the most popular drug because there's no odor. It's easy to hide, and it's difficult to tell if someone's on it. So you just have to wonder how many people – this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. So you just have to wonder how many people were tripping while they were in the service, man. I don't know.
Oh, I know quite a few.
How long were you in the service?
We had just finished. Oh, gosh, you know. And it's, you know, the brass knew. You know, the guy that won our gunning, you know, our number gunner, guy named Frapp. He was from Oklahoma, but he was just a speed freak. He had been busted down to private 5 times or 6 times, but I don't know why, but he could just maneuver and flip around the 81 mortar and set it up and give it a bump, and he was ready to shoot. And, you know, it's... you know, one little corpsman that was attached to us, because everybody would always hit him up for his drugs. And he says, I ain't never seen anybody do so much shit and do their job. We just laughed about it. When we were in 29, here's a good example. When we were in 29 Palms, doing an exercise for a cruise that we were getting ready to take. The guy that we assigned to the mess hall, They stole all the turkeys that the officers were supposed to eat. And we cooked them there, right there at our campfires. And our lieutenant came back and he says, "Where'd you get that?" "Wait, never mind. I don't want to know."
"I know nothing." Well, Mitch, since we're on the subject of the military, let me ask you, let me ask you something. You know, Trump is finally pulling out some of the troops from Afghanistan. I don't know why he waited 4 years to do it, but at least he's pulling half of them out. You know, I'm simply amazed by the reaction from these so-called liberals that, "Oh, this is endangering national security. We can't just pull out of Afghanistan. It's our enemies are going to come kill us now." And what are your thoughts on this what's 18-year war we've had in Afghanistan? And one of these guys even made the mistake of admitting that, well, things are actually more dangerous there now than when we got there. So it's like, okay, so therefore we stay another 20 years. You know, what's your thought on these endless wars and that Trump is at least trying to get out of them at the very end of his first term?
Well, they should have been shut down long ago, just like NATO.
Yeah.
It's just a military industrial complex exercise. In Afghanistan is particularly focused on the Golden Triangle and all the drug resources that are coming out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the history of time, you know, people have believed that if you control this Eurasia, the connections between Europe and Asia, that you can pretty much control the world. And, you know, the world and technology society has passed that by. At one time, they were important. Now they're only important because the most extreme, crazy radicals are coming out of there. And, you know, we have the number of toxins and stuff that's available today, you know, dirty bombs, I guess. We can't control the world, but that's essentially what they're trying to do. They put in all the puppets across the Middle East, and, you know, they're trying to partition Syria. They already know that they're in some serious problems in the Middle East and in Eurasia because of some of the stuff that's going on in between India and China, Turkey, Azerbaijan and Armenia, Turkey and Libya, Turkey and, you know, other NATO allies like Greece and France, and Egypt. Yeah, it's a lot of shit going down there, and people are underestimating the amount of chaos that's going to be caused by Turkey in the end, and how we are, you know, we've always been on this opposite side of Turkey, but we've never taken the action to fix that position. We've always placated to them because they used to be secular. Now they're hardcore Islamic, and you know, it's a failure of leadership to support these things and these regimes.
Well, is it really a failure of leadership? Because, you know, in the last 25 years, we've gone from conservative to neoconservative, and neo really should be spelled Z-I-O. And now we've got liberals going to neoliberal, which again should be spelled Z-I-O. So we're, you know, the last 25 years, these military initiatives have not been implemented to benefit the United States. They've been implemented to benefit the greater Israeli project, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think there's a contingent of the American government that believes that, you know, Israel can add stability to the Middle East when, in fact, all Israel is doing is destabilizing so they can steal pieces of ground that each time and then try to justify it in right. the mind of somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really all they've been doing.
Well, you got to keep in mind what those two blue lines on the Israeli flag stand for, right?
I have no idea. Well, I don't.
Yeah, the Nile and Euphrates River, that's the biblical borders of Israel. That's the goal. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Erdogan wants his million-man Islamic army.
Yeah, that's really something. Wow. The he's Erdogan is a shrewd operator, man. He has played a lot of people against each other, and you're dead on with the whole Turkey thing. And it's interesting. Shoot, I wish I could remember the name of the book. I have it. I read it a few months ago. There's a young journalist who was a classic liberal East Coast, grew up kind of like a middle class existence on the Eastern mm-hmm. Shore, you know, the New Jersey part that's not connected to New York. It's more really like Maryland than New Jersey or Pennsylvania. But she ended up had an opportunity. She didn't have the traditional life like her friends and got married and have kids. So she ended up taking an assignment, long-term assignment, to be a journalist in Turkey. And she wrote a book about her experiences and her awakening to the real politics of the United States and how it treats the rest of the world. And it's fascinating. And Turkey has really been through the ringer the last 70, 80 years or so. And just, you know, would you care to expand on your thoughts on Turkey?
It certainly does appear that Turkey has made the, the 360 degree turn from this idea of, what happened? My box fall down here. My back. Probably. Anyway, so yeah. A lot of times, cultures shift. And, I'm going to have to fix that. Right back. Y'all go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Almost at the top of the hour now anyway, so it's a good point. Let's break.
Fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. You can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West?
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we are back here on the Wisdom Circle. I'm here with Giuseppe, my co-host, and our special guest today, Mitchell Bupp. And, you know, at the top of the hour, we were talking about Afghanistan and, you know, the motives, the possible motives for being there. But, you know, I don't want to dwell on this too long. But, Mitch, I want to ask you another question, because you had talked about, you know, that the strategy of controlling the world through controlling that corridor. And one thing I find really strange about these endless wars that we've been in is that, for example, you know, Afghanistan has one of the biggest deposits of lithium in the world. I think the only one that rivals it is the one in Bolivia. And the deposit of lithium has been essentially turned over to the Chinese, which I find very strange. And, you know, the same thing happened to a lot of the oil in Iraq. You know, people are saying, oh, we fought the war for oil. Well, it turns out we gave a lot of it, the control of it, to the Chinese. How do you think, What kind of mechanism is at work at play there? It seems like they're just trying to hand over a lot of power to the Chinese on a covert level. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if you look at the globalist plan and you look at what the CFR has been doing, you want to look at what Bilderberg Group, you know, look at the Dravos economic conferences. Every place you look, you see China saying that they will provide the equity for the world. And, of course, you know, the only way to destroy America is really to destroy our economic power. And if they destroy our economic power, we will slide into this third world country status. People will, you know, if you look at inner cities today, and actually in the last 50 years, you can see the slow degradation of everything. And mm-hmm. it's essentially because the wealth is being taken, it's being redistributed, and it's taken out of America and sent somewhere else in the world.
Yeah, and it seems like China is the biggest recipient of that, you know, with their most favored nation trading status and NAFTA and all that. And, you know, what's interesting, Mitchell, is right now, China is fully open for business. They are not under any kind of restrictions. Their industry, everything is at full tilt now. Meanwhile, Groper Joe is intending to lock America down nationwide for a month to 6 weeks, probably longer in reality. And Europe is doing the same thing. But here, China is going full bore, full stream ahead.
Yes, of course. one of the things that I don't know if you're aware of, that China and a lot of Asia just signed a trade agreement without the United States on it.
Really?
I think they just did that this past week. Every country in the world is going to have to make a choice. They're going to have to make a choice of whether they want to be a third world slave style nation that is an import export traded nation, and they are trading their wealth and moving it offshore, or they're going to have to build their own industrial infrastructure. It doesn't matter if it's China and India, the two biggest, I would say, most populous countries, I believe, in the world.
Yes.
They will have markets that are easily can take care of what they produce and probably would actually need to import because of their size. However, many, many other countries can build their own industrial infrastructure and, you know, supply the goods that they need within that country. And what that does is that provides jobs and an industrial capacity, and it builds wealth for that nation. As long as that nation is essentially stripping its natural resources, sending it all overseas, and then buying an 80-20 import-export ratio and bringing that stuff back, you're never going to be able to get anywhere for your nation. Your nation's never going to be able to rise out of that slave status. See, this is what it was believed that NAFTA was originally, some of the things that it was supposed to do for Mexico. And, you know, and it hasn't. It has essentially, it has put in place this low-pay serf-style system in Mexico itself.
Absolutely.
It codified the corruption and everything in place. So, you know, trade agreements are double-edged swords, and countries, until they build their own infrastructure industrial-wise, they will never get out of their slavery.
Sure. And, you know, NAFTA has essentially been a race to the bottom for wages. Yeah. And, you know, some years ago, my art agent lived, 6 months out of the year in China. This was like maybe 7-8 years ago. And he told me that the going rate for labor in China at that time in a factory was $3 a day.
Mm-hmm. And a 12-hour day.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the workers actually slept in a cot.
You know, we're thinking.
Yeah, a lot of the workers actually slept in a cot next to their workstation.
Wow. Yeah. and, you know, it's really pathetic that, you know, liberals that, you know, just want, you know, low prices. But they want fair this. They want equal this. They want all these equities built in. But at the same time, they want this shit made in the cheapest places in the world that are, well, corrupt. And they don't have good working conditions. And, you know, it's so bad today that, you know, even the factory, the manufacturing class in Bangladesh that works in all the sweatshops, they're worried about being replaced by robots. I mean, the sweatshops are worried about being replaced by robots because they only make $50 a month.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Oh, wait, not to interrupt, but someone just messaged me and said there's no sound. Yeah, there's no sound on A. There's two messages now. Are you sharing your screen? Your sound on your screen?
Oh, yeah, that's it's tough happen. Yeah, there it is. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's on.
Man. Right.
We're good now. Oh, great. So, Giuseppe, why don't you re-ask your question there? Because I don't think anyone heard it.
I think I can remember.
My mic is muted. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The biggest enemies in the world don't have Rothschild central banks. I mean, it's not a mistake. And, you know, I have often said that, you know, the only real chance that the world has to fight these banksters would be if, you know, the United States and Russia and China would actually band together against the cabal. And, you know, that would be probably the only way. Of course, there would be economic hell to pay for, you know, standing up against these people. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the funny thing is in the short term, it would be economic hell. But really, we have the physical infrastructure, and we could easily – everything we need in the United States, we could have a robust, vibrant economy, especially if we made a gradual commitment to more natural things like hemp and things that you know, are renewable and easily growable, and get rid of the corrupt big agra and start to get people to grow more natural and organic crops instead of all this GMO toxic shit. It's funny how it's all tied together. You know, the Rothschilds, the satanic minions of this plane, they own the GMO big agra, they own big pharma, and they're all, every industrial complex, every transnational mafia, they're all owned by the same capo di tutti capo, the captain of all captains in the mafia. And that's the central bank.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a serious problem. People don't appreciate, you know, the honesty, you know, that they get when, you know, people say, look, all your money is controlled by one cartel. Mm-hmm. And it's made out of thin air and rented to the countries. The only other better way you could get that scam is if that you made it digital and you never had to print it.
Right.
Then you could just throw out any numbers you want.
Yeah, that way all the rules are out the window. Once you go full digital, there's absolutely nothing keeping the thing grounded to anything other than just funny numbers and fantasy money. It's incredible. Yeah. It really is an act of black magic alchemy, what we have with this modern banking system. And that's really the root of the problem.
It's dyslexic.
Yeah.
It's all dyslexic because the simple fact is You know, today they say you have money. You don't. You have debt. If you have any, monetary notes, whether they're digital dollars or whether they're physical dollars in your pocket, none of that is real money. It's all debt that is owed. And you're just carrying around the piece of paper that says, oh, you only owe this dollar of debt. You only owe $100 of debt, you know. You're actually carrying around the debt instruments themselves, and people call it money. It's ass backwards. So everything, if you look at the politics of the Democrats are doing to Republicans and Donald Trump, what they say Donald Trump did to, you know, the country and Vladimir Putin and all this other stuff. If you look at the economic models that we see today, they claim to be helping Main Street, but the fact is, and the evidence is clear, the only thing they've helped is the major international corporations.
That's right. Yeah.
Everything is opposite. So,
yeah. Well, Mitchell, you know, it's good to see your face. You know, you sound like a real American and you look like a real American. What would a Mitchell Bupp administration, what would it have looked like if it had come to fruition?
It would be hell on wheels. because I would be hiring people, you know, to go in and do real investigative work. I would, you know, listen, if I had my dream staff, I guess you would call it, you know, it would probably consist of somebody like Bill Binney and Catherine Austin Fitz. And of course, Dr. Mark Skidmore could come in and help with all of the audits and that we would be doing. And, you know, I would probably, you know, I'd be calling Edward Snowden and visit Massage to get the real scoop. You know, I would be putting pressure. I'd get people like Matt Koch and John Solomon in there to use my office so they can investigate the crimes that our government is committing, that our politicians are committing every day. These, you know, our professional political class is a professional criminal class today.
They're traitors. They're
and
traitors.
They fall way past being, you know, the spokespeople for people. They've just come to be the grifters of America.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mitchell,
so, you know,
getting back to.
For all,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, all these people that were run out for one reason or another for being a whistleblower. I mean, my office, I would facilitate every damn thing I could for all of them. You know, people like Cynthia McKinney, you know, I would even, you know, offer Jim a desk if he needed one to when he was in town looking for information. You know, the mainstream media for too long has picked and chosen what gets reported. Mm-hmm. The media leak strategy run by the federal government to incriminate people that actually work for open government so they can get them the hell out of the way. You know, these are some of the things I would be doing. You know, I would be having real oversight. I wouldn't be having this load of partial oversight. People wouldn't appreciate it, but, you know, I would call for adding another 100 to 400 U.S. House members, because currently, you know, the few we have cannot adequately oversight the U.S. government because it's gotten so big. It's gotten so powerful, and there's so many small bits and pieces of government that are used as wedge weapons or, you know, back doors to get all this stuff done. You know, as far as I'm concerned, every lobbyist on K Street is lobbying for a foreign power. I don't care if they think every corporation is a foreign power.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. let's not lie to ourselves. You know, they're in business to make money. They have no loyalty to the America or American government. They only have loyalty to make money. And until we start, you know, pulling Wells Fargo over, you know, unhitching the horses, sending them to the glue farm, and sending the Wells Fargo wagon to the shredder so it can be crushed like an old Edsel piece of crap, you know, until these banksters are shut down, they're just going to keep doing criminal activities, and that the fines will just and have become the cost of doing business. But the worst piece of that is that the last administration under Trader 44, Barack Obama, took $500 million of settlements from the banks and gave them to liberal social justice companies, corporations, and nonprofits as grants. So, you know, these banks were allowed to make these donations to Black Lives Matters, you know, Antifa and other, and, you know, other organizations, and say, well, we're doing our bit for the U.S., you know, to in our plea bargain.
Doing their bit to fund George Soros's color revolution, which is Bolshevik 2.0, to destroy this sovereign republic. And, you know, it seems to me, Mitch, it's getting worse in the sense that the Rothschild central banks and these oligarchs pretty much controlled everything, right? But we still had a level of personal freedom and functional freedom, you know. And now with this great reset, this COVID-19 scamdemic, they're literally seeking to turn the 7 billion or so population of the earth into inoculated with toxic poisons, microchipped, and penned in controlled human cattle or goyim. That's where they're going. If you want to be part, if you want to have your concerts back, your movie, going to the movies, you're going to the restaurants, you're going, sending your kids to school, you have to be inoculated with poisons, microchipped or quantum tattooed, and you have to be constantly monitored via this, you know, China-like social credit system, which is more like an Orwellian credit system, the way they want to implement it. And do you see this actually happening, or somehow is this going to fall apart because it's an overreach?
Well, I honestly don't think there's enough individual thinkers out here to stop it.
Yeah, me
too. I think people will try to rationalize it. And just as, you know, they rationalized the TSA, you know, putting their hands in the pants of 2-year-old kids and filling them up.
Right.
You know, I really think, you know, once you get through these phases of conditioning that we see going on right now, that, you know, it's actually, you know, the psychological mind conditioning that we see going on when the U.S. government itself is essentially pushing all this stuff on people and the governments around the world. You know, I see them getting away with some of it, maybe not all of it. You know, the question is, you know, are we going to see the cycle? I'm trying to think who was talking about it. Cynthia McKinney talking about it the other day, where they were talking about what's going to come is, you know, first you have, you know, the regular COVID-19, and then you have the COVID-20, and then all of a sudden you have the COVID-HIV portion kicking in. And, you know, you have these different diseases that are spinoffs,
right,
of COVID-19. I don't know. What I do know is that the natural immunization, they say, is now has lasted at least 90 days. And it looks like it could last. And, you know, when they say they have this vaccine and it works, you know, the question that I say is, what do they mean by it works?
Exactly.
It works where it produces antibodies in the blood. So they inject you with some mRNA and it hijacks a protein receptor and it creates its own protein download, so to speak, from the viral injection of the vaccine. And it essentially reprograms this protein to reproduce itself. And I guess after the second round of shots, your body produces an immunological response to this. That is, from my belief, from what I've read, that it's supposed to be able to fight off COVID-19. And, you know, essentially what they have done is they've triggered your body to recognize COVID-19 as a disease, not so much, you know, as this novel virus that comes in. The body doesn't recognize it. It overwhelms the system and then it kills rather fast. I really think that, you know, all they've really done is create this mechanism that the body will recognize COVID-19 and then have its standard immunological response to, you know, this viral invader. So, you know, when they say they have a cure, they really don't have a cure. The only thing they have is they inject you with something that makes your body recognize COVID-19 as a viral threat, and then your body kicks into action. So, you know, when they say, oh, I got a virus and it, you know, it cures it all. Well, no, your body cures it all. The only thing they did was enable your body to have a response.
Well, and I'm dubious of the whole thing. I like how they say it's 94.5%. You know, the 0.5 makes it sound more legitimate, you know, like it's real. And you know, what bothers me is, you know, it has to be stored at negative 70 degrees. You know, what in the world is it going to do when it goes into your body at 98.6? I think there's a lot of hidden covert purposes for this. And I also believe that they're planning on making this masking thing permanent. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm sure they want to have a wide scale acceptance of this COVID-19 vaccine. You know, I've kind of watched this whole process since back in December of last year, when, you know, over Christmas in particular, that Chinese doctors and whistleblowers were talking about the new flu that was in town and that how it was airborne and that people needed to get the hell out of Dodge right then. I don't know if this is this escaped weaponized version. Of course, it has been hyped. I won't say hyped. The evidence shows that this COVID-19 was weaponized to be infectious to humans in, I believe, in North Carolina. It's also known that in Australia, I believe, is where the HIV component was spliced in by a university that was on a grant with China. You know, when you go back and you look at China and the quality of shit in China, and you look at building maintenance and all these other different things, you know, it doesn't instill a whole hell of a lot of confidence. You know, it's like Plum Island, you know, when they built Plum Island facilities. And of course, they had Lyme disease escape from there. And right. And other toxins. They had a lot of other issues. But what they found out later was the contractor who built the Plum Island, the facilities, he didn't even go by the blueprints. He was stopping the layers of rubber, you know, at the top of the wall instead of going all the way to the ceiling. And there was open spaces, you know, above the different rooms. And, you know, they had cross contamination, I mean, hundreds of times at Plum Island, where, you know, some people even got sick and died from diseases that animals were getting. And, you know, they'd have farm animals in one place and mammals, some other small mammals in another. And somehow or another, they, you know, they all got the same disease, but they were supposed to be in isolated rooms. It's crazy. I mean, I can remember, you know, this failure of government, you know, the CDC, and they have a facility out in Colorado, and they were studying chronic wasting syndrome or disease. It's a neurological disease that's real. It's similar, or I should say, it essentially is mad cow disease. And they had sheep, and they had another farm animal grazing in fields that were infected. And these wild elk came in, jumped the fence, fed with the sheep, and some of them started getting chronic wasting disease. And from there, you can see where the CWD really spread through the elk herds up into Montana then from Colorado. And, you know, mad cow disease is essentially a rogue protein that's self-replicating. It's not a viral or bacterial disease. It's actually a neurological failure of a protein cell. So there's a lot of things that we've done and we've created, and by accident here in the United States, I'm damn sure China is possible that they could easily do stuff like that.
Well, the shocking reality, Mitch, is that these arrogant, I don't know what you, mad scientists is a good, they think they understand how this all works. They think they have it all figured out. And as you outlined with the lunacy of the RNA vaccines, is there, in their mind, the roadway, for the example, is linear, right? Like laid out like a grid. And so if we take over this road and we redirect it, this traffic, it'll all work out. But the reality is the body and nature and the viruses in nature are so much more complex. They mutate thousands of times each moment worldwide. It's such a complex system that is so far beyond the comprehension of these so-called scientists who think they understand it all. And so what's going to happen is, are you guys aware of China thought they had beat the swine flu? They had pretty much done the same thing that's going on now with an RNA vaccine. And they had like 500 test patients, and they all once they were inoculated with the RNA vaccine, they wouldn't get the swine flu. Oops, until it mutated, and then all 500 patients died because their body started attacking itself. Because that's what happens when you try to reprogram something and you don't factor into the mutations and the changes. So the body saw itself as the virus, and everything started blowing up, as Judy Mikovits describes it a cytokine storm where inflammation's everywhere. So your lungs fill up, your heart swells. I mean, it's a horrible way to die. Your liver clogs. I mean, what a terrible way to die. And so now they think they have it figured out right now. No, that's not going to happen. I was reading an article the other day. Oh, no, we understand all that. We're beyond that. No, you're not. It's so I don't know.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that this transmission between animals and humans is really an issue, or is this part of the scam? Because we're going to have a guest on, actually not this Saturday but next Saturday, a very deep researcher, and she thinks that this animal to human transmission is part of the big plan to drive everyone into the mega cities and to make people afraid of nature and to create all these this fear of being outside and near animals.
Well, in nature, the possibility of actual spontaneous jumping of a virus from an animal or a reptile or a bird to humans is pretty much non-existent. The chances are like once in 1,000 years. It just doesn't happen. Man's intervention has caused these things to become a much more realistic possibility because they've intervened and are real sloppy, like Mitchell was talking about, where they're building these so-called level 4 labs and they don't use the rubber, they don't seal it, and all of a sudden it's like a goddamn sci-fi movie, right? I mean, it's out. And the arrogance of humans has created this. So in nature, no, I wouldn't fear it at all. With these lunatic, mad scientists, arrogant, globalist, yeah, I fear that pretty much. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Well, Mitch, I would hope that under a Mitchell Bupp administration, a lot of these mad scientist types would be frogged, walked, and put into jail.
Well, we can't completely shut off research and science. And, I think there's a problem with allowing these corporations, the big pharma corporations, to have the immunities that they do. Big pharma has this immunity, filed through the vaccine court system. The nursing homes just got their COVID relief killer forms, so to speak, where, they aren't potentially responsible for all the cross-contamination that they've did and got so many patients infected. The same way with the hospitals. What many people don't realize is, hospital mistakes are the second leading cause of death in the United States. I mean, it's people that go to the doctor's office and they get mistreated. They get diagnosed with something that's way out there and it was something else. Or, it might be as simple as an elderly person that has, a urinary tract infection. And they don't give them enough medicine to completely cure it. It comes back, drags the person back down. They got to drag them back to the doctor. In fact, I know somebody that should still be alive. But the doctors and the communications and trying to get the proper medicine, actually ended her life and the quality of her life. I agree you can only live so long, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't, try to keep somebody, alive for as long as they can. These, what has really happened. When you look at Dr. Fauci and Bricks and these other technocrats, they've went way past doctoring. They've essentially become socialized into the bureaucratic system and have lost, their Hippocratic oath, so to speak, to the individual patient. And they think I don't want to say about the big picture, but more about the political picture. And, we see that a lot today, where doctors are hedging, maybe is a good way to describe it, you know, what they're saying and how they're saying it to people. You know, they give them a half bits of pieces of information that is, you know, that applies to what they might say, but it's an incomplete picture. You know, this idea of wearing masks, you know, California, you know, as soon as you step outside the house, you know, you're supposed to put a mask on. I mean, if you're in your backyard and you have to have a mask on, face it, game over. I mean, you know, every bit of air is contaminated everywhere. And, you know, if you're going to run this thing, this paranoid scam, because that's what it is. It's creating people that are, you know, neurotic and paranoid about every little thing. And germophobic, I mean, come on.
Yeah, a nation of germophobes now. And I'm telling you, these masks are going to kill people. And beyond that, beyond the obvious health problems, but between not having your body properly oxygenated and the fact that you're going to be rebreathing bacteria and waste products from your own body, that aside, it's just so damn ugly to see people walking around in these masks. And I'm just getting tired of it. And it's just these global so-called elite global parasites, they must be laughing at us at how easy it is to get people to comply with utter bullshit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you know what is the great criminal satanic initiative in all this is what the mind rapists who control the mass media and these charlatans, so-called scientists like Fauci, they've turned the coronavirus, which is the common cold, it's ubiquitous in nature, it's omnipresent, it's everywhere, it's in every human, it's in every animal, it's in every reptile, it's in the soil. They've turned it into the new nanoterrorist, and the average normie sheeple refuses to use their brain and think and critically look at it. And the funny thing is we're talking about the immune system. Everything is your immune system. Like when people, the overuse of antibacterials, medicines don't cure you. What they do is they kill enough of the bacteria overgrowth so your immune system can take charge again. And the same thing is true with viruses, antivirals. And so, and what's even more criminal is, as Mitchell outlined a few moments ago, that they are actually trying to rewrite how your immune system works. And what could go wrong with that, right? We talked about that a few moments ago. But the insanity of if it's in the air and it was poison, deadly, we'd all be dead. And hardly anyone is dead. No one's dying of this SARS-CoV-2 because it's such a weak, attenuated bioweapon intentionally, I believe. What people are dying of is their comorbidity because they already had cancer. They already had diabetes. They already had COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. And Mitchell, don't you think everything that must be done, you know, Western medicine, corporate allopathic medicine is phenomenal in saving your life, acute trauma care, phenomenal at the level of surgery and the high-tech surgeries and the wonderful things it can do to give people back their primary function in life. And in the case of like these poor kids who are horribly disfigured with like cleft lips and things, they make them look normal. It's amazing. I'm not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater and say allopathic medicine is evil. No, there's a remarkable, wonderful body of great protocols. What's evil is the big pharma initiative to try and treat every human being, which everyone is unique, as cattle. You know, you cannot inoculate everyone. If we had actual governments, the proper strategy should be to have an expert team to go in locally, analyze what the pandemic outbreak is, and then you develop a cure based on you have a set of tools, but you have to regionalize it. You have to localize it. That's the cure for every pandemic in my trained medicine. 6,000 years of oriental medicine is what they used to do is when, you know, smallpox broke out, it's an episodic disease. So they'd take the pustules of a victim who had it and they grind it up into a powder, add some herbs, and then they blow it into the nasal of children, and using that localized inoculant, that would create regional local immunity. That's the only way you could create a cure. You can't cure the world. You have to treat locally. That's the only way you can do this effectively.
Of course, they're not trying to cure anyone, I don't believe. I think they're trying to hoodwink everyone into an agenda that people wouldn't accept otherwise.
How do you make a profit if you cure everybody?
Well,
there you go.
Why is medicine a profit-driven endeavor, right? Why should medicine be
profit-driven? And how dare you go outside that book? You know, we have one book, one chapter on foot problems, and you're supposed to read that, and you're supposed to know what the hell you're doing. You can't go outside the book. Everybody has to get this standardized care for the individual who is different from everybody.
Yeah.
So you're the premise of the way medicine is structured today is completely wrong. Just simply the fact is that everybody is different. And, you know, if you go outside those bounds, you know, it's like a kid coloring in a book. You know, the medical system will smack your hand real quick if, you know, mm-hmm. you go outside their guidelines.
You lose your license. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let me lay something on you guys, because we're like down to the last 10 minutes. You know, they're saying that the hospitals are overrun all over the country now. There's just this mad rush of COVID patients. You know, bodies are piling up in the streets. And, you know, San Diego is supposed to be, you know, it's in the purple zone, which is the worst, you know, outbreak in California. And, you know, just the other day I spoke to my cousin, who's a nurse at a major hospital there. And she admitted to me that there's really nothing going on in terms of COVID in her hospital, even though she still thinks I'm crazy. But what do you guys think is going on, and how are they ginning up these statistics? Because I don't see any evidence that the hospitals are overrun with people.
No, I don't believe they are overrun. I believe that the statistics are, of course, steadily manipulated, because remember, a hospital, a big business, there to make money. They have a limited number of ICU beds. And, you know, generally, I think it's between 70% and 80% of those beds always have somebody in them. Always.
Oh, that's a good
from
point.
All kinds of illnesses. So, you know, this, you only have to have this small uptick of people that are then hospitalized. You know, you may have 1,000 beds in a hospital, you know, but only, you know, 100 of them may be for intensive care patients.
That's a good point. And, you know,
that scarcity of ICU beds, you know, oh my God, it drives it right through the roof, because, you know, up at the VA hospital in Salem, Virginia, in March when I was up there and at the emergency room and with this shit that turned into bronchitis. And, you know, they made a comment. They only had one containment room with two beds for, wow. for infection. So if they had any COVID patients, that's where they should have been placed.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually. There just aren't that many beds anyway. And so they're making a mountain out of a molehill. Giuseppe, what's your take on that? How are they doing this, or what's your take on it?
Oh, it's the actual greatest distributed virus is fear. I mean, they're freaking people out, and the real strategy to implement this global vaccine mandate is to, number one, scare people out of their minds so they can't think rationally. Number two, wear masks, which runs down the immune function and makes people sick. And number three, they're banking on when seasons change, people get sick. That's just for 6,000 years in Ayurvedic medicine, for 14,000 years. Seasonal change makes people sick. It affects the weather, affects the body so much. It's not even funny. So there's your 1, 2, 3 knockout punch to, oh my God, stay inside, wear your mask. Don't wear masks. Eat lots of healthy foods. You know, you need vitamin C. It's not just from oranges. It's from, you know, green and red peppers. Your vitamin D, you got to get out in the sun. You got to eat lots of green leafy vegetables, root vegetables. You need to take a chelated mineral because corporate farming has bled all the vital minerals out of the soil. So even if you think you're eating healthy, you're not getting enough minerals. You have to give your body in the natural way the fuel it needs to run the great immune engine. And that's right. What most people don't do.
Well, and you got to wonder how many people, you know, have a case of the sniffles and they go to the hospital and the hospital says, oh, you have COVID, and they put them in a bed and start drugging them up. And then, oh, you're going to need a ventilator. You know, you just have to wonder how many cases they kind of just turn into COVID. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, and the other piece of that is, you know, hospitals, nursing homes. You know, banks and doctor's offices, you know, the money that we handle, you know, that stuff's covered with who knows what. You know, when you go to those places, you're exposed to who knows what. And, you know, the number of people that get sick, they don't know where they get sick because, well, it's all environmental. And, you know, if you think you can live in a sterile society, you would be wrong. And if you think you can live with this mask and, you know, practice all these things and, you know, in 6 months, you're not going to go back and we're going to have another resurgence of something. And because, you know, they've set the bar so low for this COVID-19 pandemic death rate. They've set the bar so low that, you know, pretty soon they'll, you know, they could probably, you know, declare, you know, drug overdoses and suicide
right.
Along with the same, you know, zest of, hey, we gotta, everybody, you know, we've got to protect you from yourself next.
Right. And you can't have Thanksgiving. It's too dangerous. You can't, you know, and Governor Newsom actually told people to put their mask on in between bites. I mean, how far are people going to let these psychopaths push us before there's some real pushback?
I'd like to hear Mitchell's thought on that because they're turning it into a nanny state where you have to stay and be the perpetual 6-year-old and nanny's going to take care of you. And don't worry, nanny's here. Take your shot, take your pill, wear your mask. I mean, when are people going to wake up and act like adults, Mitchell?
Are they capable? I think that's the first question to ask. Are people actually psychologically capable of lodging their head from their ass? There's so many people that have a financial benefit to this, mm-hmm. have a political benefit, have this power structure benefit. You know, I really, you know, you have to ask yourself, are people willing to be woke? Or be awake.
Yeah, and people have to snap out of their fear. This fear of death, fear of getting sick is what's running all of this. And until people do so, they're going to keep pushing this further and further until they receive some serious pushback. And I don't know what the end game is, but I don't think it's going to be good for us and especially not good for coming generations. That's the part that really worries me the most. Mitchell, we're down to the last couple minutes. What are your final thoughts?
Resist the violence. You know, maybe that's kind of somewhat off topic of where we've been today, but, you know, this coming push by these, technocrats, I would advise everybody to try to refrain from violence. There's going to be some seriously stupid shit going down. And you're going to see groups of individuals attacking people. And people are going to want to go out and get retribution. They want to stand up for democracy and patriots. And my advice would be careful of these circles that you get drawn into, because they often feed the same algorithm that the big lying Marxists and Klantifa are using, along with the Democrat Party. So while it takes two to tango, I don't think you should be dancing with the Democrats and they're flirting with disaster for democracy.
Right. You don't want to dance with the devil. Okay, well, I just want to remind everyone, too, that, you know, Revolution Radio is 100% listener-funded, so please come aboard. Help us out. Freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, Patreon member, or go on the Zappos store. Until next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.